The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Do you ever have doubts about your salvation? How do you get assurance? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We're currently in a series called No Holiness, No Heaven, in which Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are reviewing a popular online article by that same name. Today, we're going to discuss assurance, eternal salvation, and how doubts sometimes play a role in all of that. Well, let's get right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, welcome back, and we're going to finish this series we've been doing on an article at the Desiring God website, No Holiness, No Heaven, How to Know if Faith is Real or Dead, from November 14th, 2020, by Greg Morris. This is probably typical of messages that you might hear at a church influenced by a Desiring God website, which is a John Piper ministry. So it might be worth going over because it kind of shows how free grace might take a different position. So the last section of the article is called Questions for Self-Examination. And I guess this is self-examination to see, he says in the opening paragraph of this section, he never examined himself to make sure he was in the faith and truly born again. So these are questions to determine whether you are in the faith and truly born again.
Right. And by the way, this is what Engelsma said is true of Puritanism, which is the English branch of Calvinism. It leads to a never-ending search for assurance. Engelsma calls Puritanism a gospel of doubt. Yeah. Engelsma himself is a five-point Calvinist, but he does not agree with the view of many five-point Calvinists that we look at our works to see if we're born again, and we look at our feelings to see if we're born again. Engelsma says we just look at the promise of everlasting life to the believer, and we say, I'm a believer. Mm-hmm. Jesus says, whoever believes in him will not perish but has everlasting life. Therefore, I'll never perish. I have everlasting life. But that's not true of Morse. Morse is saying something else. So let's go through a couple of these points.
So the first one, he says, is at times we all ask plainly, am I born again? So he's just setting up the question that this is a question that people ask themselves. And we were just talking, you said no one ever asked this question.
No, I'm not saying no one, but what I'm saying is there's no reason for someone who has come to faith in Christ to doubt that he is a believer unless he takes his eyes off Jesus and his promise. I came to faith in September of 1972. I can't remember a single moment in those 50 years where I've doubted my salvation. And there's no reason to, because think of it this way. In those 50 years, I've never doubted who the President of the United States is during a term of office. I've never doubted that 2 + 2 = 4.
Yeah.
I've never doubted that I was an American.
Yeah.
During that period of time, I've also not doubted that I have everlasting life, because there's not been a point at which I've thought, I don't think John 3:16 is true. I've known it's true, and I believe not only that, but I've been surrounded by people who believe that and who affirm that. In other words, I go to church, I have a believing spouse, I have believing friends.
Yeah.
The reason why someone would have doubts from his perspective is because of their works or because of their feelings.
Yeah.
But the reason we would have doubts is because we question now whether John 3:16 is true, right?
Right.
Does that ever happen? Of course it does.
Yeah.
But does that need to be a normal part of the Christian experience? I'd say no.
No.
There's no reason why a person couldn't come to faith and go their whole life without doubting. I brought up the illustration of you. You became a naturalized American citizen. What year was that?
2013?
13. I don't think you've doubted that you're an American one moment since then.
No, just because I'm surrounded by so much evidence of it. But, you
know,
the Bible is, believing the Bible is a kind of a leap of faith. You know, there's less evidence. So, for example, in college, I was on the verge of walking away from Christianity just because I was presented with so much evidence for the Bible being basically an invention. So once I started entertaining those thoughts, I could doubt the whole thing was true.
Right.
You know?
Well, of course, you were sitting under atheist professors who were teaching theology and the Bible and everything else.
Sure, sure. Or when, you know, sometimes I remember being in a Pentecostal church for a while, and what I gathered at the time was if you don't speak in tongues, then are you really born again? And so once I started taking their idea seriously, but like you said, that's when I took my eyes off of the faith alone message.
Right.
So I think that happens to people all the time. But you're saying it really shouldn't. Don't do that.
That's what I'm saying. It shouldn't. You should walk in unbroken knowledge that you have everlasting life and that you're never going to lose it. Because when you take your eyes off Christ, it causes what people often call an existential crisis, right?
Sure.
If you're beginning to think, I may not spend eternity with the Lord, some people think that's actually helpful for your Christian life.
Well, honestly,
I don't think so.
Well, wouldn't you want a Catholic or an Orthodox or a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness to have that existential crisis in order to come and believe the faith
alone
message?
Well, that's a good point. If you're unregenerate, I would want the person to have that crisis. But for the regenerate, that's not helpful.
Yeah.
And yes, I was that person, by the way, Sean.
Yeah, like you said.
When I was a senior in college, I was a self-righteous legalist.
Yep.
And a friend said, is it possible your view of the gospel is wrong? And I had that crisis, and I came to faith.
Yeah.
But once I came to faith, I didn't need to keep now going back and going, well, wait, did I really believe? Or did I really believe the right message?
Yeah.
No, I've got it.
Well, here are his questions, his three questions for determining whether you're truly in the faith and truly born again. Do you hate your sin?
Yeah, and my answer would be yes, but that has nothing to do with my assurance. Zero. If you think that your hatred of sin is one evidence that you're born again, it's quite subjective, isn't it? How much do you hate your sin?
Yeah.
After all, doesn't the author of Hebrews talk about the passing pleasure of sin? Isn't there something within us that likes sin?
Yeah.
So isn't it possible to hate sin and like sin at the same time?
Yeah.
I mean, it seems to me the Spirit of God within me hates sin, but the flesh likes sin.
Yeah.
And so there's always an inclination to sin. I was speaking this last Sunday on James 1, 12 through 18. I quoted one of the authors, I believe it was Doug Moo.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, we need to distinguish between temptation and sin. A lot of people think if they're tempted a lot, that they're out of fellowship with God. But temptation is not sin.
Yeah.
If we are giving in to temptation, that's sin.
Yeah, yeah.
But the fact that we are tempted doesn't mean we're sinning.
Right.
And so I think we need to recognize that when he says, do you hate sin? If that's your basis for knowing that you're born again, you're never going to know. Do I hate it enough? How much do I hate it?
Yeah. How about his next one is, do you love God?
Well, hey, it's great to love God, but this is also not a basis for assurance.
Yeah.
Don't Buddhists love God or Hindus or Muslims? I mean, Muslims are willing to martyr themselves, right?
You know, work salvation Christians.
Right. Don't they love God?
As much as I do, I'm sure.
At least they gave every appearance of loving God. You also have subjectivity. How much do I love God?
Yeah.
Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So aren't we back now to evaluating whether we love God by looking at our obedience?
Yeah. If you think love is a feeling, that has its own problems. But if you know that love is obeying God's commands, well, there you have it even more. You're going to fail. If you measure yourself against it, you're going to realize, wow, I don't really, I really love God.
I'd have to be perfect, wouldn't I, in order to be certain that I was a child of God. If obedience is the mark, or he's calling it love here, but this love is not distinguished from obedience. In fact, that's his final question, which he's logically going to go to.
Yeah. Do you obey what you know?
We're now at the point of obedience. Well, that's quite subjective. I'm sure the author would say he sins. He wouldn't say he's sinless.
Yeah.
And therefore, he doesn't obey what he knows all the time.
Yeah.
Let's say most of the time.
Yeah.
Well, does that mean he's born again? Subjectively speaking, how would you know you obeyed enough?
Well, here's a hard question then. I'm going to push back for his
sake. Right.
Let's take all of these things. Does this mean, by your reasoning, we can never know if we're walking in the light or if we're living life pleasing to God?
That's a great question. Yes, we can know those things. And the reason we can know those things is because we first know we're born again. But if we didn't first know we were born again, then we couldn't know we were walking in the light.
Well, being born again doesn't mean you're walking in the light.
Correct.
So how do you know that you're walking in light? Because you'd ask yourself, Am I loving God? Am I obeying what I know? You'd be asking yourself these questions. And you're saying there's no certainty.
What I'm saying is, if I have the underlying knowledge that I have everlasting life and I'll never perish,
yeah,
then I can ask these sorts of questions related to whether I am in fellowship with God or not, but whether I'm walking in the light or not.
But wouldn't that just yield the same uncertainty?
Well, no, because I have the certainty of my salvation. What this is doing is trying to find certainty of salvation in your experience.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, if you already know you're a child of God, you can now say, am I confessing my sins? Am I in a local church that's teaching the word of God? Am I walking in the light that I know? I'm not walking in rebellion. I'm not in the spiritual far country. The answer is yes. But if you want to say, hypothetically, is there some level of doubt that's possible for the person who knows for sure they're born again, we might put it this way. Am I a victorious Christian? And my answer would be, I would say I am right now, but the truth is, whether I am or whether I not is going to be determined by Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. And so even if I say today I'm confident I'm walking in the light,
yeah,
I don't know I'm going to be doing that tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And if that was necessary for me to know I was born again,
yeah,
then I wouldn't know I was born again. I don't think it's necessary, so I could say I'm today walking in the light. But I do shrink back a little, Sean. This may be where there's some fuzziness in my own theology.
Yeah.
I do shrink back a little in saying I'm a victorious Christian today. I'm an overcomer today. I think I am based on what I know from the Word of God, but it seems a little presumptuous because we can't say that until Christ evaluates us. If there's some level of ambiguity, okay. But the truth is, I have no ambiguity about my eternal destiny.
But if you tried to get certainty of salvation based on these questions, you're not going to know.
That's right. This is an absolute guaranteed way not to know you're born again, not to be sure of your eternal destiny.
You will not know if your faith is real or dead based on these questions because it's so subjective.
Amen.
If you have questions about what we said, you can send those, a short question, to radio@faithalone.org, and maybe you'll hear us answer it on this show. So thank you for listening.
Keep grace in focus.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Are you interested in finding other free grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other free grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On tomorrow's episode of Grace in Focus, we're going to begin taking questions from listeners just like you. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.